Country Club FM.
Having some issues with my cord for my laptop. Please stand by. As the number one source of all the audio you hear on the Bob Almanac, it's very important that that remains plugged in. All right, it's the Bob Almanac here today. Let's do the same thing for the Bobathon kickoff. We'll do songs numbers 1, 2, and 3, and you can pick which will be the first song kicking off the No Repeat Workday, Bobathon, etc. It has several different names. Song number 1, Sarah Evans, Suds in the Bucket. Song number 2, Oak Ridge Boys, No Matter How High. And then song number 3 is Clay Walker, What's It to You? So song number 1, Suds in the Bucket. Number 2, No Matter How High. And song number 3, What's It to You? Vote by song number. If you can't remember what number it was, throw the title or artist up there as well. But I thought the song numbers would work easier. 763-450-0100. Vote for today's kickoff song. And again, standard text messaging rates may apply. And please text safely. Today, it's Bob Almanac. Today, we have a virtual Neil.
Huh?
You're here somewhere, right?
I'm ready, Jim.
Okay, good. We have an Almanac salute here today. This was one of my favorite songs. What, late 70s, early 80s?
We had a good thing. I miss your sweet love.
We lost Roberta Flack yesterday, and on the same day, actually it was the day before, same day, kind of overshadowed the loss of Robert John, Bob FM, Light Rock. This was his big hit, Sad Eyes. Robert John, he was 79. His other hit was actually a remake of The Lion Sleeps Tonight. He took that almost to number one. I want to say that was top five. He was a singer-songwriter working in construction before Sad Eyes hit number one in 1979. He died on Monday. His son confirmed his father's death to Rolling Stone. There was no immediate cause of death, but he had said that his father was still recovering from a stroke he suffered several years ago. So Robert John gave us Sad Eyes, now gone, but not forgotten. Today, Wednesday, February 26th. This was the date, 1815, Napoleon Bonaparte dressed up as a little kid and snuck off the island of Elba. He put one of those little hats with the propeller on it. And put on a Teletubby shirt and headed off the island of Elba because he was short. I don't know if you knew that. Napoleon Bonaparte, he was small. He probably looked like, I would have dressed him up as Pugsley from Adam's Family. Similar body type, probably same height. So he left the island of Elba and he said, hey, you know what? They loved me so much in France before. I'm going to go back there and I'm going to have my second conquest of France, and he did. Bonaparte, Napoleon, 1815. Abe Lincoln on this date, 1863, signed what was called the National Currency Act. Before this, it literally was the wild, wild west of currency and money because every state had their own currency for the most part. All these different banks. Some banks had their own currency that other banks didn't use, and it was really a mess. So Abe Lincoln, being the smart man that he was, and, you know, he was already dealing with the Civil War, but he decided to sign a National Currency Act establishing a single national U.S. currency. 1863. 1919, Grand Canyon National Park. That's a bucket list thing. I got to get to the... It's only the biggest darn hole in the world. Clark Griswold once said, you think you just stumble upon it. You go, oh man, I got to go see the Grand Canyon one of these days. You think you just stumble upon it. It's just so large. But Grand Canyon National Park established by Congress of State 1919. How about 1977? This movie premiered.
I'm placing a personal bounty on the head of Tim McCracken.
You can't put a bounty on a man's head.
I just did.
Go get him, killer!
It's wild. It's outrageous. It's outrageously funny. Paul Newman, Coach Reggie Dunlop in this supercharged world of hockey. Invite you to meet the crazies who make it.
Slap Shot, debuted on this day, 1977, one of the great sports movies of all time. Got to see that at least once a year. And yeah, before Sean Payton was putting bounties on Brett Favre in the 2009 NFC Championship game, old Reggie Dunlop was putting bounties on, was it Phil McCracken? I can't remember, it was McCracken. Right, 1977, Slapshot's premiere. What a movie that is. Basically, it was based on actual stories from minor league hockey at that time. They may have taken a little bit further than it actually happened, but it was rooted in truth. It truly was. And I worked in minor league hockey, so I know that some of that is rooted in truth. The organist getting hit with a puck, and fights before it even the puck drops, or even before the national anthem, during warm-ups, you know, that kind of stuff. It just happened, and it happened. It may have been exaggerated a little bit, but Slapshot, outstanding, 1977. And it's very, very ironic that Slapshot premiered on this date in 1977, because this date in 1981 at the Boston Garden.
Oh, a fight at the bench. Keith Crowder, Marco Barron, Greg Smith. The bench is empty. A wild scene at the Boston Garden bench as the Minnesota players come off. This was Greg Smith, as far as I could see, Keith Crowder and Marco Barron starting that. And the cameraman is right in the midst of it. And the punches are whirling all over the garden.
Look out, Murray Oliver. Doc Rose, look out.
Wildest scenes we have ever seen.
Glenn Sodmore throwing punches. He wants to take Jerry Cheevers. Take him to the back room. It was good. He was the coach of the Bruins, I believe, at that time. It was quite the deal. It was Boston Garden. The North Stars and Glenn Sommer said, you know what? In the NHL, we're seen as wimps. We're seen as light. We're seen as not tough. And they went into that game, the North Stars, 0-27-7. 0 wins, 27 losses, 7 ties in their last 34 games at Boston. And they said, no more. Even though they lost to the Bruins 5-1, there were 12 ejections, 392 penalty minutes, 67 penalties in the first period alone, and they basically dropped the puck, kind of like the U.S.-Canada game, preliminary game, almost immediately, right off of the opening draw. And they did lose, but it set the stage, because guess what? Later in the playoffs, first round, they beat Boston. They swept them with Kevin McHale in attendance at the Boston Garden, where he's been known to go out onto the court and count the screws. So that was this day, 1981, all-time record, 392 penalty minutes. That was broken in 2004. Ottawa and Philadelphia had 419, believe it or not. But North, I remember watching that game, too. Would have been Bob Kurtz and Tom Reed. Receptive Channel 9. That was the Boston feed. But I remember watching that. I was watching that. And it happened. And it's still a memory to this date. And the crowd was getting involved in it. They're in the tunnel. It was ugly. It really was. It really wasn't a moment of pride, but it kind of was, because the North Stars said they would have enough. And Coach Glenn Sommer said he was very proud of his team, what they did against the Bruins there, even though they lost the game. It set the stage for the success of the playoffs. Hey, we need to move on now. 1987.
Wednesday, Frank Sinatra guest stars as a retired detective.
What do you want?
I want the truth.
Out to solve his last homicide with Magnum's help.
So far, you're on a lousy investigation.
Magnum P.I. with Frank Sinatra guest starring. It must have been sweeps week. Usually is in February, back in the old days. I don't know if they still do it now, but February was sweeps time in the old television ratings game. So what do? You bring Frank Sinatra in. So that was on this date, Magnum P.I., back in 1987. I hear Simon and Simon tried to get Dean Martin to counter. It didn't work out. There was no drinking on the set of Simon and Simon, and Dean said, well, I'm out. How about 1991? This was in the news.
There is another graveyard near Kuwait City. It is the highway out of Kuwait into Iraq. It was to be the escape route for thousands of Iraqi soldiers. Here's ABC's Linda Patillo.
This is how the Iraqi army's flight from Kuwait City ended.
Yeah, not a pretty sight. It was the highway of death. Iraqi President Saddam Hussein on this date in 91 ordered his troops to withdraw from Kuwait. And as they were withdrawing on that highway, coalition planes bombed Iraqi forces on their retreat, killing hundreds, creating the so-called highway of death and just a pile of mangled, burned out cars, equipment, tanks, and all that from the Gulf War.
The devastation stretches across a four-lane highway for nearly a mile and a half. When their escape route north was blocked by a brigade of Allied tanks, the Iraqis panicked, creating a massive traffic jam. They were hit where they stood, first by U.S. bombs, then by tanks.
1991 is when that happened, as the Gulf War was coming to an end. 1993 in the news.
There was a man taken in about 12:33 this afternoon here to Beekman downtown, and he had blood all over his body. And he was one of the first patients, and he told his paramedic that a car seemed to explode in the parking garage of the World Trade Center in Tower A, and that the force of it threw him out, actually forced him out of the building. There must have been some gaping hole there. This man is apparently doing okay. We don't know if he required surgery. We knew that he had some kind of a laceration on his back.
Osama bin Laden and his Al-Qaeda attempted to take down the World Trade Center the first time in 1993 with a truck bomb in the parking garage. And it happened at 12:18 on this date in 1993. Six were killed. Over 1,000 were injured. And at the time, that was the deadliest act of terrorism perpetrated on U.S. soil at the time. And then, of course, 2001 is when 9/11 took place. So this was the first attempt to take down at least one of the towers, sadly. And I don't know if we didn't learn enough about it, or if we weren't on high enough alert, or by 2001 we didn't expect them to come at us the way that they did, that if they were going to try again, it'd probably be another truck bomb. They did never take into consideration that they could possibly hijack airplanes and go after those buildings. But obviously, our enemies saw those buildings as a symbol of American strength and commerce and everything. And sadly, of course, in 2001, we know what happened then. But in 1993 was the first attempt, and that was on this date. 2021, this was in the news 4 years ago.
Mr. Potato Head is getting a new gender-neutral name. Hasbro says starting this year, boxes of the potato-shaped plastic toy will instead just be labeled Potato Head. The toy maker says the toy has been around for 70 years and needed a modern makeover. Yeah, Jeff Petrulis.
No, it didn't. It did not. I hope we fix that. Although they just call it Potato Head on the box, it's still a Mr. or Mrs. Potato Head in the box, from what I understand. That was a state to 2021. Okay. Oh, by the way, where's Virtual Neil? Hello?
Huh?
Okay, he's here. Let's get an update on our votes for our kickoff song. Let's see. Oh, Norton. Norton from Henderson. He said, none of them. How about Buck Owens? Buck Owens wasn't one of the choices, but I guess we got a write-in vote from Norton from Henderson. And I think he sent a picture of himself, a selfie. That is not going to help at all. It's not going to help your cause. Sending in a selfie. Let's see. Song number two right now looks to be the leader at this point. So song number two, which is Oak Ridge Boys. But again, write in vote. If more people come up with Buck Owens, I guess I'll have to find a Buck Owens song. Let's get into birthdays now.
beep, beep, bye, bye, ho, ho, bum. Look at Molly now.
Mitch Ryder is 80 today. Told us about C.C. Ryder.
And an alligator hat.
And Devil with a Blue Dress.
And a diamond ring. Got bread. It's on a finger now and everything. Devil with a blue dress on. He's the devil with a blue dress on. Low, hip, hip,
yes, have mercy, Devil of the Blue Dress, Mitch Ryder of Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels, 80 today.
So tell me all about it, tell me about the plans you're making. Oh, tell me one thing more.
Michael Bolton. As his hair got shorter in the front, it got longer in the back, I believe. And then eventually he just cut it really short. Probably a good idea there. Michael Bolton. And every time we play this song for Michael Bolton, we have to remember Laura Branigan had a hit with it first. The great Laura Branigan. Michael Bolton, 72 today. The actor Greg German.
What did you say? What was that?
Oh, I said it with all due respect.
That doesn't mean you get to say whatever you want to say to me.
Sure as heck does.
No, it doesn't mean that.
It's in the Geneva Convention.
Look it up. Not,
hey, and if I remember correctly, your daddy used to love it.
This is not my dad. This is my team. Not
used
my...
used to love it when I used to win. Okay? Now I suggest you and your wife, Mrs. Jim Beam, you guys go take a chill pill. Enjoy the win! Come on, man!
Yeah, Ricky. Okay.
Ended up being the boss of Ricky Bobby in Talladega Nights from Dennett Racing. He did say, with all due respect, and I follow those, it's the Geneva Convention, certainly. Greg German, he was also on Raising Hope. He was on ER, right? Was it? No. Ally McBeal is the one I'm thinking of. And Grey's Anatomy, that was the medical show that I was thinking about. He is 67 here today. We have more music on our list. The group Fun. You remember Fun? Just F-U-N. They're Fun. This was a big hit. We Are Young. Nate Roos, lead singer of Fun, is 43 today. Now we move on to the Gons But Not Forgottens, and this is a red letter day for some of the biggest heavyweights in all of industry and entertainment. On this list, this might single-handedly be the biggest day in the Gons But Not Forgottens. Way more Gons than actual living birthdays here today. We start with Levi Strauss. He decided that, you know, denim's strong, but I can make it stronger with rivets. Levi Strauss and his Levi jeans. Whose idea was it to put the size on the back? Hey, as a chubby kid in elementary, that's just wrong. Okay, Levi Strauss, don't ever do that again. But anyway, Levi Strauss, 1829. Buffalo Bill. And Neil's not here today. Neil.
Huh?
Yeah. He could have given us all the history. He's our Wild West correspondent. Buffalo Bill, frontiersman and showman. William Frederick Bill Cody, Buffalo Bill, 1846.
A is for apple, J is for Jacks. Cinnamon Toasty Apple Jacks. You need a good breakfast, that's a fact. Start it off with Apple Jacks. Apple Jacks, Apple Jacks. 10 vitamins and minerals, that's what it packs. Apple tasty, crunchy too. Kellogg's Apple Jacks.
Kellogg's Apple Jacks. Neil, was Apple Jacks Kellogg's first sugary cereal?
I'll look that up.
Okay, I guess we don't know that, but Kellogg, John Harvey Kellogg. 1852. His brother was Will Keith W.K. Kellogg. It was John Harvey who had his sanitarium. He was helping people, and people were there and getting care for whatever they get cared for at sanitarium. I guess people had digestive issues, and he invented a dry cereal accidentally. He was looking for a more digestible bread, granola. He had started granola, more digestible bread for patients. They left it out overnight and then rolled them out. They turned into flakes, and the rest is history. John Harvey Kellogg. But he was the one who didn't want to monetize it. It was his brother Will who wanted to make money and sell this thing that they had come up with. And John Harvey Kellogg just wanted his sanitarium And then it burned down. And then Will went, well, I guess we got to do this now. And they did. That was 1852 for John Harvey Kellogg.
Okay, what do you want to bet?
About $10.
What's the matter with $20?
Well, what's the matter with $30?
What's the matter with $50?
What was the matter with $10?
Fred Mertz, what is the problem with $10? Fred was a miser. He truly was. Just ask Ethel. Fred Mertz, I Love Lucy, William Frawley. He was the housekeeper originally on My Three Sons before either he got sick or he died. And then they brought in William Damarest, right? His Uncle Charlie. William Frawley on this date, 1887. He was not afraid to tuck his tie into his pants. He rode his pants really high, and he wasn't afraid to tuck them in so his tie wouldn't get loose and get in the way. You never know. You're working with heavy equipment. You don't want your tie to get caught up in something. William Frawley, 1887. Another great.
You are a blabbermouth!
We'll always remember Ms. Ralph Cramden, one of these days, Alice. Pow to the moon. Yes, Jackie Gleason. They called him the greatest. And how sweet it is, 1916. How about Tony Randall? The list, they just keep coming.
I guess I forgot to unpack from the last trip.
What's this?
It's your Christmas present. I forgot to give it to you. Merry Christmas.
What is it?
Assorted cheeses.
Oh, yeah. Felix Unger, Tony Randall from The Odd Couple. Always needing to clear his sinuses. Always a good laugh. He and Jack Klugman were great, right? Tony Randall, 1920. We have more music now. I think we've got Fats Domino here.
I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill.
Whoop, wait, wrong artist for Blueberry Hill.
I found my thrill.
The two big versions of that song, of course, Richie Cunningham and the original Fats Domino.
On Blueberry Hill.
1928 for Fats Domino.
When I found you.
And then, of course, they just don't get any bigger in country music, really.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash. 1932 would have been 93 today. Johnny Cash. Some big names, right? Big, big. Now, Neil, they're what? They're all gone,
but not forgotten.
But your staff, obviously reeling with you being unavailable.
In the heart of the night.
Your staff forgot Paul Cotton. This is a long list of notable gones but not forgotten. Paul Cotton. Singer, songwriter from Poco. He wrote this. He's singing it. Heart of the Night.
Shining down on the park train.
I love that song. That was 1943. Crazy Love by Poco is also a favorite of mine. Same year, 1943. Bob Bear Height. Singer from Canned Heat. 1943. Neil Staff forgot.
From Hollywood, the music capital of the world, it's Name That Tune. And now the star of our show, Tom Kennedy.
Again, another utility game show host. He hosted all the big ones, really.
Thank you very much.
Price is Right, Name That Tune. He would fill in all the time. He was always ready.
Welcome back. Once again, for Name That Tune, where big things can happen here.
He always had a long microphone ready to go when needed. So Tom Kennedy, 1927. And this is one that Neil's going to miss because he was in a lot of his Western movies.
Yeah. So you want to rent this for school, huh?
Yep, for blind kids. My sister Mary and her husband are their teachers. I'm Laura Ingalls.
Well, my name is Houston.
Well, Mr. Houston.
No, it's not Mr. Houston. It's Houston Lamb.
Well, don't get so cranky. I didn't know.
He was known to play cranky characters. Dub Taylor, character actor, Gunsmoke's. His son, Buck Taylor, played Newley on Gunsmoke. There he is on Little House on the Prairie, had a recurring role there, and he is one of the old-timers, the old cowboys in the saloon, Back to the Future 3. He's one of them, Dub Taylor. You go get him there, Sheriff. No, you go get him, Blacksmith. 1907 for Dub Taylor. And now, Neil, they're all
gone, but not forgotten.
Epic, epic list of gones, but not forgottens here today. I wish Neil would have been able to be here to help us out with that. Let's go back and look. I'm counting 1, 3, 2. Song number 2 easily wins it here today to get us going.
WQPM, Princeton, WLKX, Forest Lake, KDDG, Albany, KDDG, HD1, Albany, St. Cloud.